Rainmaker FM. You're listening to The Digital Entrepreneur, the show for folks who want to discover smarter ways to create and sell profitable digital goods and services. This podcast is a production of Digital Commerce Institute, the place to be for digital entrepreneurs. For more information, go to rainmaker.fm/digital commerce. That's rainmaker.fm/digital commerce.
Welcome to The Digital Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the inspiring Katie Katz. Katie, Happy New Year to you.
Hi, Sean. Happy New Year.
You know, I love the start of every year, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's filled with all these fantasies of things that I want to achieve.
Yeah, possibility.
and December was the recap, and now I'm on to a new year. So let me ask you, Katie, for our first show of 2018, do you actually set goals at the beginning of every year?
So I am really good at setting goals for work, setting goals for my clients, and making sure that I have incremental goals in between to make sure that those things happen. But I actually am terrible about setting my own personal goals. I always get disappointed if I set something really specific, like I'm going to eat healthier. So I've just given up.
Yeah. I know it's hard, especially coming after December. If you've done anything with weight loss, December is always a tough month because of all the holidays and parties and end of year activities. So
it is. And you know what? Summer seems so far away. So
well, now's the time to start planning, right? I mean, now is the time because you do feel invigorated. I mean, there's a psychological thing about January that I think really manifests itself in this idea of what I want to accomplish for the year, right? And I think that's a good thing. I really do believe that this is a good time to be thinking about the future, to be putting things down, to really get yourself energized for the coming 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this year, for me personally, I felt like I wanted to start the year off with intention. So I had this itch that I had to have my entire house clean before midnight on New Year's Eve. And I couldn't start the year with a messy house so that my intentions were set, organized, and ready to go.
Absolutely.
Did you have any goals this year, Sean?
Oh, I have lots of goals, but you know, it's tough because as you get older, your goals tend to change dramatically from year to year, right? And so my goal for 2018 is very simple. I just want to get to the end of 2018.
Seems realistic.
Exactly. So, you know, low expectations, right? But no, I find goal setting to be very, very important. I think if you look at the habits of very effective people and you look at all the self-help books out there, the one thing that you will find is that setting a goal or goals is a huge part of the success that people achieve. Because if it exists in your brain, if it's just an idea that's floating in your brain, you're not going to be able to realize it to the extent that you need to if it's not concrete, right? So I think we all have goals, right? We all have these imaginative goals that are floating in our brain. But the truth is that achieving anything in life takes a lot of work and takes focus and it's hard. But you know what? That's how we get better at life, right?
So absolutely.
I think for this show, Katie, it is a good opportunity for us to talk about the mechanics of goal setting in the context of an online site, right? In the context of how to increase traffic to your site, how to make your site better. So let's do this, Katie. For today's show, you and I, let's talk about goal setting in the context of an online business and site so that our audience at least has a framework to work from. What do you say?
Well, I think that sounds like something that we all want to work towards, so it's perfect.
Exactly. So our goal for the show is to help you achieve your goals, and we're going to do that when we get back from this short break.
Hey, my name is Brian Gardner, and I am the creator of StudioPress, the first premium marketplace for WordPress themes. When I created StudioPress, I could never imagine that more than 200,000 WordPress site owners would use StudioPress to build some of the most elegant and inspiring WordPress sites on the web. And I am not just talking about the numerous large companies that use it. tens of thousands of food bloggers, podcasters, affiliate marketers, real estate agents, photographers, and many more have created some of the most compelling mobile responsive websites using StudioPress. But that is not all. To make it easy for you to create a compelling WordPress site, we have introduced StudioPress Sites, a turnkey simple method to create and grow your WordPress site. StudioPress Sites includes many of our most popular WordPress themes, with unique SEO tools and plugins all integrated on our high-performance, secure, and actively managed hosting infrastructure. So when you are ready to take your WordPress site to a new level without the worry or hassle of less robust solutions, then I hope you will visit StudioPress.com. Over 200,000 bloggers and webmasters trust StudioPress for their WordPress site, and we work hard every day to earn it.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. So, Katie, our goal for the show is to help people with goals. And so I'm going to turn this over to you and let's start talking about goal setting. Okay.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Yeah. I'm really excited to pick your brain on this, Sean, because I know that you are definitely someone who's achieved a lot of success and has great input onto how to set goals to get yourself there. So my first question for you is, how does someone go about picking a goal?
You know, I think this is the hardest part of the whole equation. Because here's why. I think when we think about picking our goals for the year, they tend to start as ideas, electrons firing in our brains about things that we hope to achieve. So for today's show, I'll go ahead and use, as an example, increasing traffic to your website, right? I think that tends to be universal. Every year, we always want more and more, let's say. So I'll use that as an example. So that's an idea floating in my brain. I want to get more traffic to my site. So here's the first step in this process. Why? Why do you want more people coming to your site? I mean, seriously, why do you want them to come? Now, for online businesses, it may be because I want to make more money, right? That seems to make sense. If I have more people coming, I have the opportunity to sell more, hence I can make more money. But why do you want to make more money? And that, I think, is the real question, because if you want to make more money, so let's say you can afford to take your family on a cruise or go on a trip or to buy, you know, a new car, or whatever. That is something real that you can imagine in your life that would add value, right? I mean, for me, if I want more people to come so I can make more money, it's because I'd like to take them on a really nice trip for Christmas this year, okay? And I want to have that image in my mind, because that's the image that I do want to keep in there, is that image of me with my family, or me in the car, or me with that new outfit, or me with whatever, because that's the ultimate reward of this goal. And I think that reward mechanism has to be there. But if that image that I have in my brain is there, is this the goal that's going to help me achieve it? So I think it's kind of a cyclical, you know, review. Is this goal going to help me get to this idea, to this place, to this state of being that I want to be in? And I think that's the first step. Really understand the why of the goal setting, and not just the cursory, well, I want to make more money, or I want to look better, or I want to be healthier, or whatever. Why do you want that? And use that as the reward in your brain that is inspiring you to keep the process going. Make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And it reminds me actually of a TED Talk a while back that I saw by Simon Sinek called The Why. And he speaks about that in reference to your copy and your brand messaging for your business and how to get down to that why. So it makes perfect sense that that would also be applicable when you're thinking about goal setting. And I can't help but imagine a vision board hanging up in someone's office trying to, as they work towards that goal.
Yeah. And it does help, because again, that vision is going to keep you inspired when times are tough, right? And I think this is a very important part of the overall discussion, because sometimes we have this idea of a goal, but the goal doesn't really align with where we want to be. I mean, if I want to take my family on a really nice trip next year, you know, is this goal really going to help me achieve it? Is it going to allow me to do that? That's the key point, because yes, having more money will allow you to do a lot of things, but it's, that's not what's important, right? It's what do you get from that? So really spending time on the why and going multiple levels down, that's always the first step to make sure that the goal and that reward, that end idea align perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if you have that end goal that you want to achieve, great. But how do you actually make sure that it aligns all those things that you just said? How do you know?
Right. And I think this is where it requires you to spend some effort. And the first effort you have to do is write it down. You know, I mean, and I'm not talking about on the computer. I mean, you can write it down on the computer and that's perfectly fine. But I'm talking about taking pen to paper and actually writing it down and writing a lot about it. Okay, use your best handwriting. Really write what that goal is. And in writing it down, it's going to force you to think even further, because in any state of being, we are where we are now and we want to go to a new place. So I think as part of that writing down process, you have to be honest and assess where you are today. So let's say I want to lose weight, right? So you're going to have to write down how much you weigh today. I mean, there's just nothing around it. If you're trying to get more visitors to your site, you're going to have to write down your current state. Where, you know, how many visitors do I have? You know, as much detail about it. And you want to write it down. Certainly, you can translate those written words into the computer and have them. And it may even be helpful to write them on the computer. It's up to you. But you have to be writing. I like pen and paper to start with because I can mess up and don't feel like I have to hit the delete button where the computer becomes more concrete. But it doesn't matter. Write. Where are you now? And that's crucial, because the next part of writing it down is, where are you going to be? What do you have to be at that end point, right? Because we're going from A to Z. What does Z look like? What is it quantified? So if I'm losing weight, you know, I got to lose 20 pounds, which means my end weight will be this. If I need more visitors, you know, I have 10 today and I want to get to 120, you know, by the end of the year. It doesn't matter. You have to quantify it and write it down. And the more that you write, the more succinct the understanding of your current state and where you will be. So writing is crucial, and keep it in a place that you can come back to. Because let's face it, Katie, you're going to be thinking through this even more and your writing is going to change. So, you know, if you're not taking the time up front to write these things down and edit and revise them, then you could be setting yourself up for failure because you just quickly blurt it out and don't think through it enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. So that helps us understand how we pick a goal, how we make sure it's the right goal, and that it's all aligned with what we want to achieve for ourselves. How do we make sure that we actually get it done? Because that seems to be the real problem for a lot of people.
No question. And here's what I think it comes down to. I think our goals sometimes are too damn big. Okay. I'm dead serious. I think we can scare ourselves once we start writing down the enormity of what we're trying to achieve. And this, I think, happens all the time. I think everybody's kind of comfortable with the first two steps. Yeah, I get it. I get the why part. And yeah, I'll write it down. And then once you start writing it down, it starts to manifest itself. You're like, holy cow. I mean, if you're making, let's say, $100,000 a year off of your site today, and you want to get to $500,000 by the year end, that's a huge leap in your mind. Okay, it's actually doable, but it's a huge leap and it scares the heck out of you. And at that point, you're like, going from 100,000 revenue to 500,000 revenue, there's no way, I can't do it. In other words, you talk yourself out because of the enormity of it. So the way to avoid that is to stop trying to boil the ocean. Okay, you're not trying to boil this giant vat of water. You're just trying to boil a little teacup. And to that end, you have to start breaking this stuff down. Because that enormity of going from this state to that state seems so massive until you start to realize, well, wait a minute, I only need to get this many people this month, right? That's all I have to do. If I'm trying to build traffic to my site, I only need, you know, let's say I need a 120,000 people. I only need 10,000 this month, right? And so how do you achieve that month? Well, that seems pretty big too, right? Well, maybe break it down into the course of the fact that there's 21 work days on average for most people, including excluding weekends. What does each day look like? Because I think if you're not breaking down small individual elements, you are setting yourself up for a mental failure, because there's no way to go from A to Z with one giant step. It's going to be a series of small ones. And if you don't identify those small individual steps and write those steps down, then you're going to psych yourself out of achieving them.
Absolutely. That's very similar to a process that we call setting your KPI or your key performance indicator. And that would be that top goal that you were talking about, you know, reach 100,000 traffic by the end of the year. And then objectives and key results would be those incremental goals in between or OKRs. And those are measurable goals that are smaller, like you said, the teacups, that are much more, it's a much more understandable goal at a month or quarter level. Mm-hmm. And then taking it down another level, really breaking out those tasks. Do you use anything like any sort of software for your task management to keep yourself on track?
Absolutely. I call it my calendar. Yeah, and I do. And I think that's important because here's the other thing about this whole idea of task setting. Realize it's not a linear relationship, okay? If you're trying to lose weight, get more traffic, make more money, whatever, it will build over time. A linear type of relationship basically is a straight line, right? Most things are exponential, which means that, well, I start and I lose 1 pound, then I lose 2, then I lose 4, then I lose 8, right? In other words, most of your initial effort is not trying to take the sum total and divide it by, you know, 12, right, for a monthly basis. What you may need to do is take the sum total and just try to get the first 1% or 5%, right? Mm-hmm. Because that, I think, is also very important in this process, is that it's not a linear relationship. If you're going to start losing weight, okay, which a lot of people set that as a goal, if you can lose just 1 pound in the first month, that's phenomenal. Seriously, that is phenomenal. Because if you lose 2 pounds the next month and 4 pounds the next month and then 8 pounds and then 16 pounds, all of a sudden, right? It's not even year end and you've lost a tremendous amount of weight, right? So don't psych yourself out by thinking that, wow, if I need to get to, a $500,000 a year, well, dang it, I better make $40,000 this month. No, not even close. What about $4,000 extra? Make the additional 4,000 above what you've done before, right? And then maybe next month you make 8, and then the next month you make 16, and then you make 32, and you keep on going. Then all of a sudden, those goals become really easy to achieve because they're exponentially growing, all because you just made a little step to start with. That's what I mean by setting the task list, is think in those small increments that build on each other.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, especially when it comes to your first example about traffic, because it actually might not be the case that you would want to break it down perfectly, you know, dividing your total number by 12. You actually might want to do it by a percent increase, which I would rely on your financial numbers background to tell me if I was doing a 10% month over month increase, what that exponential change would
exactly.
be. That was a hard class for me in college, to be honest, Sean.
That's what Excel is for, Katie. Come on.
Yes.
But that's kind of the point, though, is when we start writing these things down, when we start quantifying them, you know, we, again, let us not get afraid of the results by thinking that we have so much to achieve right now, right? Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's going to just be hard enough changing the patterns of behavior that you need. So make it small up front, with the goal of being that I'm going to double every month, right? So if you get an extra 1,000 people to your site this month, seriously, if you get an extra 1,000 people and the next month you get another 2,000 people, right? Then you're starting to see the results of it. And 1,000 people is a very easy number, right? Versus 120,000, which seems, you know, unimaginable starting the year off with, right?
Yep. Exactly.
So I'm always a big believer in not only writing down these small individual tasks almost on a daily basis, but really think about, I just need to see one increment of improvement, just one little improvement, and build from that.
Makes sense. So as you're going through this process and you're getting partway through the year, or how do you ensure that you're staying on track?
Yeah, you know, everything sounds great in theory until you get to practice. And then, you know, I think this is where time management really comes to the forefront. And this is why I said I keep my task list actually in my calendar, because you really do have to allocate time to achieving all these things? I mean, how many times in your life, I mean, seriously, Katie, how many times in your life have you looked back and said, you know, if I had just spent 10 minutes a day on this, I'd know Chinese now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. If you had spent 10 minutes a day on just one little thing, you know, you'd be amazing at something. Seriously, because you spent 10 minutes a day. So I think by really thinking through your time management, and that's the toughest part for most people, right, is they're constantly inundated with things that are consuming their time. And then we make excuses because, well, we need downtime, right? And so we'll go and do unproductive things ongoing because we feel like we need downtime because we haven't scheduled a time that aligns with those tasks, that aligns to those goals. And so that's why I truly believe that your calendar becomes your best friend. Because if you block off continuously, this is the time that I'm going to spend on achieving this, and it doesn't have to be hours, it can literally be minutes, then I think you know that you have to plan to do it. For example, many years ago, I actually had a health thing that happened and went to the emergency room, and it turned out it was nothing. But the simple fact was, is I was not exercising enough. That's what it came down to. So I went and I got a trainer, and I gave them a bucket of money. And I said, here, I'm giving you all this money, and we're going to work out, and I'm going to work out from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on these days with you. And I put that on my calendar. 5 years later, I still have them on my calendar with the trainer, okay? And even if I don't go to the trainer, I know that I have this block of time I must go work out. And here's the thing. People that know me know that on certain days, you won't get me until later in the morning. You just won't, because I blocked that time out. And I did it, make sure that I could get away from my kids, right, because they were in school, and make sure that I didn't have obligations to my spouse and to my work. But I found those moments of time. If you can put it on your calendar, if you can just say, I'm going to put 10 or 20 minutes to do this on these days, and these tasks in that time period are going to build on each other exponentially, then I'm going to achieve it. And that's the only way I know how to do it. What about you?
Yeah, very similar. So we use a project management software platform called Teamwork. And Teamwork's great because it does integrate directly with your Google Calendar or whatever calendar you're using, and it'll put your daily tasks in the calendar. So when you log in, you can see what your tasks are for the day. But the only problem is, like you said, it doesn't take into account the meetings that you have or where and when you're actually doing that in your day, like taking it all the way down to that hour or minute level. So I do the exact same thing. And if there's something that's like the critical tasks for the day, my top three really most important tasks that are maybe directly aligning to a goal that I had for the year, those get put in my calendar. I schedule my day around it, and I make sure that they're the first things I focus on when my energy is the highest, so that I don't procrastinate and wait until the end of the day. Oh, shoot. Well, I guess I didn't get to it. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think that is key, because just having a task list doesn't necessarily say what time am I going to perform that task, right? I mean, we use a lot of task management in our organization, just like you do. But it doesn't tell me, okay, Sean, at 9:15 on this date, you will work for 23 minutes, you know, to do Y, and this is what I expected. Usually they have some milestone date, right, tied out, and you procrastinate to the end. That's why I'm looking at time as a function of habit change. That
absolutely,
by putting it into your calendar, and I know that, you know what, there's only 24 hours in the day, and I know, and you will find all sorts of excuses. But here's the thing. Look back on your life. If you had spent 10 minutes doing X, where would you be today? If you had just spent 10 minutes doing X, and I don't care what X is, learning a language, you know, running, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Reading, you know, it doesn't matter. Where would you be today? And I think when you start looking backwards, you realize, wow, I had 10 minutes on every single day of my life. I had 20 minutes every single day of my life, and I made excuses because it wasn't forefront on my calendar, the thing that I use to manage my time.
I love that word habit. I, as the daughter of a psychotherapist who is who always analyzing the way people's minds work, that was something that my dad always talked about, is the importance of habit and how you can set bad habits and you can set good habits. Do you have any advice for how to make sure that your habits are aligning with your goals and your tasks?
Well, now you've intimidated me, Katie, because first of all, you're an MBA, you're incredibly smart, and your dad actually understood habit forming. So I'm very intimidated at this point in time. So if what I say is wrong, correct me on the air. I don't care. But
okay, sounds good.
So let me, when it comes to habits, where I generally look at the concept of habits is the environment, okay, is the environmental variables, I think, play a big part of the achievement of a new habit, right? So if you are a alcoholic and you are no longer drinking, you're not going to go to bars, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's just something that you are not going to do. I think to make sure you are not only setting the time, but setting the right environment is a crucial part of building a new habit. And it may mean that you have to change what you do today. And that's probably one of the harder things is that, you know what, if I have a new thing that I'm doing, what are the environmental things I have to have so I can focus on that small segment of time, right? So I do believe that changing your environment up is a crucial step. So for example, if you always are working at Starbucks, right, and that's always the place that you go to work, maybe find a new place, right? A quieter place, a different place, right? Mm-hmm. And when you go to that place, that is the time that you focus on the task that you have outlined in your calendar, right? Or maybe you work from home, and now it's time to go to Starbucks, right? Maybe that's the habit change that you were putting in. But I think you have to change your environment to support the accomplishment of those tasks, right? It could be that, you know, maybe you're an introvert and you don't like going out and talking to people. Maybe you need to go talk to people, right? Maybe that's a task change that you have to do. And now it forces you to go to more networking events. So I look at environmental variables as a big one. For me, the biggest change that has helped me achieve goals is I don't work from home. I cannot. When I'm at home, it's a different environment. When I go to my office, which I use an executive suite for, I am very focused. Like that is my time to focus on where I am. So I think your environment is extremely important. The other aspect of this is I think you need a support mechanism in the people around you, right? And I think this is, you know, one of the harder things for a lot of people is to expose themselves online and not in the way that you're thinking right now. I think you do have to make a declaration to the world that is public that this is what you are doing. Okay. Maybe it's to your spouse. Maybe it's to your coworkers. Maybe it's to your closest friends. But I think you have to, or maybe even on your site, right under your about page, you have to make a declaration that I am trying to achieve this. I am doing these things to do it so that they are aware of it. And it reinforces the fact that I've just made this public declaration, right? So if I said to you, Katie, I am going to do this, and this is super important to me. You know what? The next time we talk, what are you going to talk about? Hey, Sean, you remember that thing you told me? Yep. How's it going? And so that feedback loop, that public declaration, knowing that you're going to be asked where you are with it, because no one really, I mean, it's such a personal failure, right? When you come back and say, well, I know I wanted to lose weight, but, you know, the kids are sick and my job is blowing up, or, you know, my website just crashed, blah, blah, blah. You know, it does. And it's a double-edged sword in those public declarations. So maybe it's just to people who you know are supporting you and will be there for you so that they can nod you on. And then go ahead.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense, especially if you're an individual business owner or you're piecing together freelancers, perhaps. It's a lot different environment than maybe having a CEO directing you or someone that you're really accountable to. So I really like that concept of bringing some other people in your life to kind of create that accountability beyond yourself.
Absolutely. So, Katie, how did I do, given the fact that you're the daughter of a psychologist or psychiatrist? Which one?
Psychologist.
So how did I do? Did I get at least some of them right?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. My dad is actually, it's interesting you brought up the alcoholic point because that's his specialty. And one of the things he talks about with habit is he'll give his clients this task when they leave. Most people tie their shoes with the same foot every time. They start with either their right foot or their left foot. And it's just comfortable because your brain mm-hmm. forms patterns. And so he'll say, okay, whichever foot you don't usually start with, try starting with that. And what's funny is people won't remember until after they tie their shoes. So, you know, you'll wake up in the morning, you'll get your shoes on and you'll say, oh, shoot, I was supposed to do the other foot today. And then you try again the next day and you make the same mistake and it keeps happening. And so that's that power of habit and setting that intention, taking that time, like you said, to create the environment, set the intention ahead of time so that you don't get to the, oh, shoot, my shoes are already on moment.
You mean all of my success has not been achieved because I've been tying my shoes the wrong way? Well, you know, Katie, I really enjoyed this conversation and certainly think that, you know, from an individual level, these are things that we all can do. But, you know, as you pointed out when we were talking before the show, you know, you're a manager of a group, right? And certainly there are mechanics of this that affect teams and how you as a manager work with your teams. And quite frankly, I would love to talk about that topic even more so. However, given our time, we will save that to another day if our audience will take a moment, go to our site, put a comment in, and let us know if they'd like to hear from us about that. Because team and goal setting for groups of people is similar, but has its own unique characteristics. So if everyone who's listening, if you're interested in that, put a comment in and we will do a program around it. Sound like a plan, Katie?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Alrighty, folks, we will be back after this short break to give you our tips, tactics, and techniques that you should be thinking about. And you're going to want to listen to that segment because I've got a book recommendation you are absolutely going to love and will help meet your goals for the year. So stay tuned. Hey, everyone. This is Sean Jackson, the host of The Digital Entrepreneur. And I want to ask you a simple question. What is your business framework for selling digital goods online? Now, if the question perplexes you, don't worry, you are not alone. Most people don't realize that the most successful digital entrepreneurs have a framework or a general process for creating and selling their digital goods in the online space. And one of the best free resources is Digital Commerce Academy. Digital Commerce Academy combines online learning with case studies and webinars created by people who make a living selling digital goods online. And the best part is that this material is free when you register. Are you interested in joining? Well, I'll make it easy for you. If you're listening to the show on your phone and are in the continental United States, I want you to send a text message to 313131 with the keyword digits. D-I-G-I-T-S. And when you send that text message, we will send you a link to the registration form right to your phone. Are you outside the United States? Don't worry. Just send us an email to digits@rainmaker.fm. Either way, we'll send you a link to the registration form so that you can sign up for free for Digital Commerce Academy. And as a special bonus, we will also subscribe you to our newsletter when you text or email us so that you can stay informed with the latest insights from the show. And don't worry, we respect your privacy and we will not share your email or phone number, and you can easily unsubscribe at any time. So if you want to start building or improving your framework for selling digital goods online, then please send a text to 313131 with the keyword digits, or send us an email at digits@rainmaker.fm. You won't be disappointed. Welcome back from the break, everyone. So in this segment of the show, we always give tip, tactics, techniques, things that you need to know. I know Katie has a book that she is raving about that aligns perfectly with our topic. So Katie, what's the book?
Yeah, as soon as you started talking about setting your environment and setting intentions and habit and all of those things, I couldn't help but think of a book I read a couple years ago called Traction that's about achieving explosive growth for startups. And there are multiple books by Traction, so with the name Traction. So be sure to look for the one that's Traction, Get a Grip on Your Business by Gino Wickman. But this book in particular, it has a lot of great tips for what you discussed of how to have that goal and then how to align your weeks and days to get there, and how to really that process of setting yourself up for success. And they use this great analogy of a jar, and that if you had rocks pebbles and sand to put inside the jar. If you start with the sand, which is like answering your email and doing all the little things that fill up our day, you won't have any space for the pebbles and the rocks. And the rocks are the key tasks that are going to get you towards those goals. And so he says that if you start your day off with your rocks, and then you fill in the jar of the spaces around the rocks with the pebbles, and then take the rest of it with your sand, you can fit a lot more into your day, and you'll be a lot more organized, and it's a better way to organize yourself. And so I just love that book, and he has a lot of other great tips as well. So I think it's a perfect tie-in and way to wrap up everything that we've been talking about for goals this year.
Katie, that is an excellent recommendation, and we will absolutely put a link to it in the show notes so that everyone can get a copy of that book and start planning for the accomplishment of a tremendous 2018. So, Katie, I enjoyed today's show. I love talking about this topic, and we are going to come back to you next time with more insights, more ideas on the next episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. Have a great week, everyone.